Welcome to a DerivSource podcast. I'm Julia Schieffer, the founder and editor of DerivSource.com. With me today, I have Nick Newport, Managing Director of Intadelta in London. Nick is well known in the industry as an expert in risk and collateral management with a particular focus on regulatory-driven change. Welcome, Nick, to the podcast.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Julia.
So I'm interviewing Nick today to learn a little bit more about how industry participants, both buy-side and sell-side, are preparing for the BCBS IOSCO margin requirement for non-clear derivatives. I know this is a big concern for many of our DerivSource readers, and some of you, in fact, are preparing strategies right at this minute for Q4 and beyond. Let's start by giving our readers the background into these margin requirements for non-clear derivatives.
Well, firstly to say, there's a lot of talk about uncleared or non-cleared derivatives. Historically, most of the derivatives market outside of the listed derivatives market was literally what we're talking about as uncleared. It's only been with the regulatory developments of recent years with the move to clearing, which has led to a specific focus on what we're now terming uncleared derivatives. Historically, we would have talked about bilaterally traded derivatives. Then with cleared derivatives coming on, and those have been juxtaposed against the cleared market. A lot of the market has now moved to clearing, particularly in the US, where it's now mandatory. In Europe, it's going to become mandatory sometime in 2015, and a lot of the market has already moved to clearing on a voluntary basis. However, it does seem that there will be a large part of the market with significant volumes which will remain non-cleared or uncleared, certainly in the near term, but potentially over the long term, because such products can't be standardized or there's not liquidity in those products. So there will remain a significant uncleared market in derivatives for the foreseeable future. As a consequence of this, the G20 governments, as part of the financial stability recommendations, want to make sure that the uncleared markets are as safe and as well collateralized as the cleared markets. As a consequence, various regulations under discussion about how to govern the non-cleared markets and ensure that there's sufficient collateral being placed for uncleared derivatives as there are for cleared derivatives. Firstly, to set a level playing field for these markets, the international rules were prepared by BCBS IOSCO, as you referred to create a set of international rules around this. These were discussed last year. Following a consultation, these rules were finalized in September. These now need to be implemented in each national or regional jurisdiction, and the European supervisory authorities have been the first to consult on these, and that's currently nearing completion, and in due course, other jurisdictions are expected to follow with particular interest on this in the US. So that's kind of the context. The uncleared markets aren't new, but there's regulation around how they're collateralized, which is new. The aim is that this will be as rigorous a collateralization process as on the cleared markets.
Now, I understand that you recently conducted a survey on industry planning for forthcoming non-cleared margin regulation for derivatives. Nick, can you tell us what's the most significant finding of that survey?
Well, there's a number of things I'd like to just point out. Firstly, the key one is that everybody thinks these regulations are important to address, or everybody believes that they need to look at these regulations, because nobody seems to think that the bilateral market is going away anytime soon. In the survey, we asked participants whether they thought in the medium term bilaterally traded uncleared derivatives would still be a significant part of their portfolio, and pretty much everybody said yes. So everybody feels they need to work on them. Secondly, most participants, whether they were buy or sell side, seem to think that they will be significantly impacted by all of the aspects of the regulation, even, interestingly, initial margin. If you look at both the European regulations and the international regulations, initial margin is planned to be phased in over a number of years, initially with only the very large banks being impacted with over $3 trillion of notional derivatives in their portfolio. However, even smaller buy-side firms feel that they're going to be impacted by these regulations, despite the fact that the regulation seems to, from a mandatory perspective, give them at least some deferment or rule them out altogether of being impacted. That's an interesting finding, that people seem to think they will be impacted maybe as a knock-on or maybe directly. So that's kind of a key thing. Thirdly, one of the key findings was that the regulations are being implemented by both the buy side and the sell side, but the buy side are very much more cautious about embarking upon the implementation and the change before all the rules are agreed, whereas the sell side very much are getting on and doing what they see as the firm certain rules that have been put out. Finally, an interesting difference between the buy and sell side is around modelling of initial margin and also of haircuts. The buy side are leaning towards a standardised regulatory schedule, which is outlined within the regulations as a preferred means of both initial margin and haircuts, whereas the sell side are very much in favour of internal models, particularly for initial margin, but also to nearly as great extent for haircuts as well.
Now, sticking with the models a little bit longer, why do you think buy side and sell side have different views on the models used for initial margin?
The buy side seem to favour simplicity and ease of implementation. The standardised schedule outlined in the regulatory documentation will give a much higher level of margin than an internal model would require. However, it's a lot easier to implement. So what that would imply is that many of the buy side firms, certainly the ones who were responding in favour of the regulatory schedule in our survey, they would sort of prioritise the simplicity and ease of implementation, ease of understanding the model, over necessarily squeezing as much out of the margin as possible. Whereas the sell side, very much the focus seems to be on having a model which will be as risk sensitive as possible and actually covering the counterparty credit risk, giving the lowest amount of margins possible and the greatest amounts of offsets between different transactions in the portfolio. I think that's the main difference. It's also probably fair to say that such models, being sort of historic value at risk models, very well understood on the sell side, have been used in many different processes over the years for market risk and other means, possibly less well understood on the buy side. So there's a different level of understanding around them and also different commercial drivers.
Now, is there anything that the buy side and sell side both agree on with regards to these requirements for non-cleared derivatives?
Well, sticking on the topic of models, what they both do agree on is that there needs to be industry agreement around the models which are used. So whether it's using a regulatory standardized schedule or whether it's using an internal model, everybody agrees that to ward off disputes or the disagreements around how much margin is placed, it's much better that everybody agrees on the models that are going to be used. So the parameterization of the model in terms of the confidence level, the historic data which feeds the model, the preferences, all of that is agreed by the industry on an industry-wide basis in advance. So this kind of ties into the SIM or standardized initial margin model conversation which ISDRA has been leading. So that seems to be a big driver for both the buy and sell side. And secondly, kind of the next layer above that is over and above agreeing the model itself, most people seem to want to actually have the model run on a standard market utility, so not install the model on their own software, or either vendor or in-house built in their own environment. It's to leverage a common model which sits in an industry utility to make sure then everybody is really 100% up to date on market data and other inputs to the model and using the same infrastructure around that.
Who would be this industry utility that would host this standardized model? Would it be an existing utility or a brand new one?
I won't mention any particular names because I know there are commercial sensitivities around some of the people offering these, and not everybody has started publicly marketing their offerings around this yet. However, there are a handful, I would say 2 to 3 potential providers in the market, some of whom are existing utilities or providers of risk capabilities who would like to extend existing offerings to actually meet this market need. And there are certainly some forthcoming new entrants to the market who've seen this as an opportunity to actually build out a proposition.
So it's very much possible that an industry-wide internal model that is hosted on a utility as opposed to internal systems or supplied by vendor systems is feasible then?
Yeah, very much so. It does seem like there's a demand for it, and there's very much a real possibility that it can be delivered. I'm not ruling out, and certainly the survey findings didn't rule out, that some people will want to run their own model in-house, either on vendor applications or in-house software. But there seems to be a big drive in the market. It seemed to be about 65% of the market would prefer to be using standardized models on standardized sort of bureau service or utility.
Okay, great. Looking beyond the initial margin modeling, Nick, what do you think is the biggest challenge the industry faces in preparing for these uncleared margin requirements?
I think it's the breadth of requirements that are there. So once you take away the initial margin conversation, there's a whole raft of different requirements within the rules, from daily exchange of variation margin through to eligibility and concentration rules, through to haircuts, intragroup exchange of margin, and so on and so on. Now, whilst the initial margin rules phase in the exchange of initial margin by different thresholds of counterparties, depending upon their volume, over time between 2015 and 2019, the way the rules are currently written is that all of the other rules come in as a big bang on the 1st of December 2015. Which means that whilst they may not be as complicated to implement, because they're going in for the whole market and for all counterparties, the potential market impact may be more significant. Now, whilst for many large banks, actually, all of the rest of the rules are fairly well-trodden territory and to some extent best practice, there's a lot of smaller players in the market in different segments on the buy side who these will represent significant change. So they may be currently on weekly margin calls with many counterparties. They'll need to move to daily exchange of variation margin. They may not have robust processes in place for eligibility and concentration. They'll need to do that and so on with haircuts and the other aspects of this. And certainly in the European rules, an interesting element is that even for counterparties which are not strictly caught within the rules, the European entities who are under the rules are required to try to ensure that all of their counterparties globally meet all of these requirements. So even if you happen to be a corporate counterparty that's in Asia or a corporate counterparty in the US and you're dealing with a European regulated entity, they need to attempt to ensure that you are exchanging daily variation margin, etc., with them on an ongoing basis. So the extent of the rules is across the market and will be significant even if you take the initial margin element out of it.
Perfect. Thanks, Nick. Now, in terms of general advice, Nick, you deal with both buy-side and sell-side institutions of various different types and sizes. So I'm curious what advice you would give our listeners who might be starting to create their strategies for addressing compliance with these non-clear derivatives margin requirements. Is there any kind of words of wisdom that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I think the key thing to understand is that there's work to be done to meet the rules in a number of different areas. There's clearly significant technology change. There's also a lot of change around policies that are required, processes, documentation, and even to some extent there may be organizational change, particularly you need your risk management departments or your front office involved in the collateralization process and with the new rules because there's new things to be done. So there's a whole range of different things which need to be done to get ready to comply with the new rules. You will need to line up a lot of different parties in your organization to be involved in that process. So the first step is to really understand which of these rules are we certain enough about will be the final view of the rule to work on now, and which ones are slightly more uncertain and maybe need to be left to a later part of the process. So if for firms which were to wait and not do anything across technology process, documentation policy and organization for another 6 months until everything was finalized, they may find there's really too much to do and to comply by the 1st of December. However, what I would say is there's a lot in there which is pretty well understood now and in many ways is actually market best practice across the industry. So people can start to work on that.
Great. So people should no longer be waiting around for absolute clarity. They should get working on it now as there's enough clarification and market practice, more importantly, that can follow now.
Yes, there is significant clarity around certain areas. There is clarity which still needs to come on other areas, particularly, for example, what might be rehypothecation rules coming out of the US regulations, because that has been completely ruled out in the European regulations. So many firms might want to leave that aside now, but other things like variation margin, haircuts, eligibility, concentration, there's plenty of work which can be get on and started now.
Okay, great. Thank you, Nick, for sharing your industry insight with us today via our podcast. And listeners, you can find the full transcript of this podcast and links to related articles in our podcast notes page, which is available on derivsource.com. Thank you for listening to this DerivSource podcast. See you next time.